So here we are again. Welcome to the WWE podcast with Aid Willis. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time zone you're listening from, wherever you are in the world. Welcome. Super excited. Well, I'm super excited to do another version of my podcast. I'm really enjoying it. I hope you lot are too. I was a little bit disappointed in the week, I must admit. I was looking forward to Raw. I was looking forward to SmackDown. SmackDown was a little bit better for me. But Raw, I mean, Raw was good. But I felt it was lacking. I feel there was a lot of missed opportunities. I see a lot of comments online, a lot of opinions online that I agree with. And actually, they match mine. I mean, most of it was all right. I felt Randy Orton coming out and doing the promo where he didn't really say much. But we all know Randy Orton. It's a good promo. It builds the whole, like, I don't really care persona. Like, I've just beaten up the legend that you lot love. He doesn't need to say anything to keep going back on the ropes. It's showing no remorse. It's good. It's almost built. It's building the feud without Edge needing to be there. Whether that's anything to build the feud on, or whether it's to do with the hospital checkup that I said about in my last episode. I'll try and obviously bring more news for you if anything that I hear, anything I see. But ultimately, Randy Orton's perfect for this character. He's been doing it his whole career. We've been watching it for years. Time and time again, he plays that heel so well. Paul Heyman's turned him straight back into one of the top heels of the company. He plays that role a hell of a lot better than probably anyone else I've seen. When Edge does come back, it's going to be absolute fire. And I'm also glad that they're not throwing, just because Edge is away, I'm glad they're not just throwing any old superstar with Randy Orton to try and make him part of sort of the wrestling picture. I don't think he needs to be. That feud is just quite happily building on its own, sailing along, waiting for the big moment. I don't want to see him at Superstar Showdown or Super Showdown, whatever it is in Saudi Arabia. I feel like that matchup is too big for that. We know that there's a hell of a lot of money built in, and they love their legends, they love all that out there. And obviously I'll talk about some of the matchups that we've seen that get promoted a bit later on. But I feel like the Randy Orton and Edge, it deserves probably a WrestleMania moment. Maybe at Elimination Chamber, maybe at some of the other pay-per-views building up. They're going to have a couple of matches, but ultimately maybe a match with some sort of superstition behind it at WrestleMania is going to be the way to go. That's the way I'm really feeling at the moment. I feel like that's probably a match that everyone will get behind as long as they build it the way they're doing. It's a slow build, but it's a nice build. It's not getting shoved down your throat. It's intriguing to see what will happen, but also it allows you to really get into the feel of the other matches and the other feuds. And it's just a slow burner, and that's what I like about it. We also saw Liv Morgan. Now, I've actually been very, very disappointed with her return. I was excited to see how her character plays out. I thought her character hasn't really changed. Yeah, she doesn't have the blue tongue and basically the Riot Squad gimmick, but the character's no better. She hasn't done any sort of promos, really, like in-ring. Yeah, she's done the little vignettes a little bit. But hopefully the Lana angle's ended. That was some of the worst work I've seen in a hell of a long time, especially between two promising women in the division. The whole marriage angle looks like it's done and dusted with. That's a positive. And have Ruby Riott now return, and obviously they played on the whole, they're friends, they might get back together. So she walks to the ring, and the attack I'd already predicted. Whether you lot had, when she was walking to the ring, I did expect that to happen. Hopefully Lana just gets out of the way now and does something else. I like the idea of Ruby Riott having promos. I like the idea of Liv Morgan being able to have a bit more creativity with her character against Ruby Riott. That ultimately will give her a hell of a lot better in-ring performances than Lana did. So that should build her character nicely, because I actually feel like the way they're sort of going with Liv Morgan and the hype behind her when she was injured or just away from WWE, out the picture, just trying to get that transition from the Riot Squad into her own sort of persona. There was a hell of a lot of popularity and speculation and everything like that when she was away. So it's quite intriguing to see how big a push she's going to get. For me, I want her to get a bigger push. I'm hoping she's going to get one over on Ruby Riott. I'm sure it'll start off with Ruby Riott really winning against Liv Morgan, potentially with Lana still in the picture, sort of like a two-on-one, or Lana sort of gets involved a little bit, which that's okay just for the first little bit, but ultimately, hopefully she does sort of get out of the picture. And then I sort of want to see a character change. I don't like this sort of nicey-nice persona, and then she sort of goes all catty and a bit scatty. Like, I thought there would be a lot of deeper meaning behind it. A lot, like some of the vignettes that you saw on Twitter, if you follow her, then you'll see like the hair was cut off, I believe, or changed colour. The pink hair was cut off, and I just thought there was some of the messages that she was putting out was almost similar to Bray Wyatt. Now, of course, she was mentioned to be the next Sister Abigail, or the first Sister Abigail, shall I say, but. Whether or not she's with Bray Wyatt, she needs that sort of character build, that character depth. That is really going to push her forward. And then you never know, she might even jump into the title picture. That could be interesting. But I mean, that's a hell of a long way off at the moment. Tell you one thing that was really, really interesting. Now, as we know, Andrade's been suspended under the wellness policy of WWE. Now, I touched on that in my last episode, bringing you the news, of course. Now, Humberto Carrillo had a coming together with Zelina Vega and Angel Garza, or Angel Garza. Now, for me, he is the first person that not even necessarily they've billed to be like it, or even supposed to be like it, but he's the first person that genuinely reminds me of Eddie Guerrero. Now, that might be an unpopular opinion, but when they're sticking the Three Amigos on Andrade, he's not the right character. And I'd actually go far enough to say he is much better suited to that whole like heel character with a bit of cockiness, a bit of confidence, a bit of swagger, being that sort of Mexican, Hispanic villain that WWE is ultimately missing and has been missing for a long time. He had his match with Mysterio. That was a good match. His in-ring ability didn't really show too much. Now, he's been in NXT in the Cruiserweight division, I believe. I've seen some of his matches, I must admit, not too many. I believe there's a lot more to come if he's given the chance. And hopefully, since the feedback and what I've seen online, he's actually got a hell of a lot of praise for some of the matches he's been a part of. And especially the match against Mysterio, in the fact his character and his personality shone through a hell of a lot more. And as I've said in my episodes, and again, it's a common theme with what I prefer, but when there is a foreign superstar, I do prefer them to speak a little bit of English. Now, I love managers. I'm a big fan of managers, always have been. And Zelina Vega plays an absolute fantastic part in that. However, having Angel Garza be on the mic, it just added that little bit more for me. He doesn't even need to say a lot, but when he did speak, it shows his personality hell of a lot more. You get more relation to the fans, even being a heel, that you can build more heat, which is good heat, not hate heat, through being able to relate to the crowd, building that sort of relationship, whether it's good or bad. It helps with that. So it's character building. And ultimately, I preferred him to Andrade. Hopefully, Humberto Carrillo has a match with him as well, because then we'll see a different side of him. Whether a Mysterio feud will carry on, I can't see it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when Andrade's 30-day suspension is up, because whether he'll just disappear back into NXT or he will really push on. And you never know, they could become a tag team. Or what I've seen a hell of a lot of, which is quite a good suggestion, is that Zelina Vega starts her own little faction of this sort of lucha, Mexican sort of style wrestlers. Now, I'm all for that. I think she's a great manager. She's good in the ring as well. I'd love to see her have a little faction. Whether it would be a top faction or it would sort of be mid-card, I think mid-card is probably a safer bet. But ultimately, I think that could be a good option for WWE if they wanted to. If they wanted to. So anyway, moving on to my big disappointments from the episode of Raw. Now, I'm sure it's everyone else's. Why have we got Becky Lynch fighting Asuka again? We've seen it. It's done. I get that the tag team title picture in the women's division isn't really strong anymore, especially with the Iconics gone for so long. Hopefully they will come back. I'm trying to find out a little bit of information of when they'll come back, so I'll keep you posted if I can. So there really isn't anyone else. I get, even if Kairi Sane sort of stepped forward, just as a different match, just as a different sort of feel to it. We've seen the Asuka match, and I'm sure you can all tell where I'm going with this. Leading on to SmackDown, I'm sure you all feel the same, and I hope you feel the same. Why have we got a Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin match again? Not only do we get a Becky Lynch versus Asuka match that we've seen how many different times, we get to see Corbin versus Reigns again. They've now chosen the match that should have been done at the Rumble, in my opinion, a cage match. It would have made more sense, although I loved their match, and I really did. I liked the Falls Count Anywhere, and they made great use of the baseball stadium, which some of it I hadn't actually seen before because we don't have baseball over in the UK. So some of the stadium was nice. I like the fact they were using all the over the dugouts or where the teams sit. I liked that, but the feud's done. The feud is done and dusted. Baron Corbin is a great heel. I'm sure there's another face on the roster that he can have a great feud with, build some chemistry, build a relationship. The heat he gets from the crowd is some of the best heat from a heel I've seen. Now, I know some of it is real hate heat, real go-away heat, which isn't always the best, but I like him. I think he does a good job. And Roman Reigns needs to go to that next level now. He needs to go that one step further above Corbin. But anyway, we get to see it again. I'm praying this is the last time. I am absolutely praying. But we shall see. I can't always get my own way. Because Roman Reigns did actually hint, I don't know if everyone saw it online, but he was hinting that Drew and Brock Lesnar is a great match for WrestleMania, which I'm sure we all agree. So he was saying that leaves the Universal title route free. And I feel that would be a good option. Obviously, Goldberg has stepped in to take that feud with The Fiend at Superstar Showdown. Now, I wasn't very keen on the build-up because ultimately there was no build-up. It was basically Goldberg saying he wants another title run, you're next, and The Fiend doing quite a good little vignette, quite a good little promo in Firefly Funhouse News, which we hadn't seen before, I don't think. So I actually quite enjoyed it, but The Fiend's part, I don't enjoy Goldberg's promos. I find them a little bit static, but that is his character. I used to really, really enjoy it. Now I find it a little bit samey because his character hasn't really changed over the years. But ultimately, it'll probably be a good match. The rumours that I've seen online are that The Fiend's going to win, and he's going to win clean. So he becomes only the third person ever, being Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, to beat Goldberg clean, because that will really get The Fiend over. Which, that might be a good option. I was hoping that was going to be the case. I actually thought, and I probably do predict, more of a disqualification type angle, because I can't see that with Brock Lesnar coming off a loss in his last match, then wanting to damage his character too much, especially if he wants that one last match. Now, I can't see Goldberg being too happy with losing clean either. So I can, as I said, I think a disqualification type angle where The Fiend comes off stronger without damaging Goldberg too much is probably more of the way WWE is going to go. But then again, if Goldberg is only returning because Saudi Arabia likes the legends, they put the money behind it, then ultimately it doesn't really matter how long he's in the company for. If they're going to give him another run, I can imagine the disqualification angle. if he's only for one match, winning clean really does not matter. He's always going to be a legend. He's already in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't really matter too much. Now, jumping from the Universal title to the WWE title, as we saw, there was a triple threat match. Ricochet won. Now, I'm sure other people will be thinking this, and I was a bit gutted, actually, because Ricochet won. Now, I'm not a massive fan of him, but I've been wanting to see Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley for a long, long time. And I think everyone else has, with the MMA background. They're both big, big guys, big old units. And ultimately, if they had that at Saudi Arabia, they could have had this face-off. They could have had this match. And they could have tested it, not for a long-term feud that's happening now, because, of course, we're going to have Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar WrestleMania, unless he loses the title. I cannot see that happening. But they could have tested the water, seen the fans' reactions, almost used Saudi Arabia as a house show. Now, I know people might get a little bit upset with that, but they aren't the best events. Yes, there's big money behind it. Yes, you get the big returns of the legends. Yes, you get these big matchups. But ultimately, the matches are quite predictable. So Brock Lesnar potentially winning against Bobby Lashley, quite, not easy, but clean at least. At Saudi Arabia, you could see how the fans would react to a feud. You could see how they worked in ring together, because they're both big guys, and sometimes the big, big guys don't work too well together just because of pure size. He could have matched Brock Lesnar on strength. And then obviously leave that for a little bit. If it had a good reaction, you could then build it after WrestleMania, or build Lashley as a character and push him a little bit further, and then have him jump into a title match, or even just a non-title match if Brock Lesnar was to lose in the future. I felt that as a massive, massive missed opportunity. Hopefully we see it, because that's one of the feuds that I think everyone is wanting to see and expecting to see for such a long time. And especially when Bobby Lashley made the comeback, it made sense to me that that was going to lead to it, but obviously it hasn't. Another match that I'm super, super excited for is Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. Now, I actually hope there's some sort of triple threat with Bianca Belair. As we saw in NXT, we saw Charlotte confronting Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. Now, I think that would be insane. I think the in-ring ability of all three of them would be incredible. Now, I actually think SmackDown have lost a massive part to their women's division if Charlotte does make that step to NXT, whether it's permanent or whether it's just to even build Ripley or just have that super match for the title. Because I thought that fatal four-way match for the number one contender match for Bayley's title, I thought that was poor. I thought the match was okay. I thought they could have done a lot more with it. I definitely didn't really want Carmella to win. Although she was a good champion when she was, they haven't really built her character in any way that I thought she's worth the win, if that makes sense. I would have preferred Naomi to win, but then again, that might be a little bit soon, a little bit predictable. I thought Alexa Bliss would probably be a safe bet. She's been so consistent over the years. That would have probably been a safe bet. I think, actually, being fair to it, I think the reason I'm not very excited for it is because Charlotte's gone away from SmackDown and Bayley is the champion. I've never been a fan of Bayley. I think her character lacks in so many areas, so much depth. Her promos are terrible, so you can't really get into her character. You can't really get behind her, in my opinion, anyway. I think, as I said before, I think Sasha would be the better champion and then Bayley be the sidekick. I'm hoping when Sasha's back that she does win the title, or at least has a hell of a lot more influence in the matches, which I'm sure she will. Like, she's a top level superstar. She's one of the most popular women in the divisions across the board of WWE and across the board in wrestling, really. So I can see that happening. And ultimately, I want that to happen with the Iconics returning, hopefully, as I've said before, And then with a Sasha Banks return and a Nia Jax return, the women's division all of a sudden gets stronger. It starts building again. And then some of the matches they can do again, but they will almost feel new because we haven't seen them for so long. So then obviously the Asuka and Becky feud can break up for a bit, and we can add someone else to the title picture on SmackDown, and it just freshen things up, which is what the women's division needs again. I think it needs to be revitalized a little bit. I think a hell of a lot more on SmackDown than it does on Raw. But then again, I think if a title, as I said, if the title changed hands on SmackDown, I would get much more behind it. Now, that's sort of my episodic reviews over. My own views, my own opinions on the thing. They'll be a little bit different to what you hear in some of the other shows, so I hope you enjoy them. Now, of course, I'm going to bring you the news, going to bring you some injury updates. Well, this is because I like to sort of squash any doubts, any conspiracy theories that some people have, and also talk about some of the up-to-date rumours, predictions, and also give my own little twists, own little theories that I have of what's going to happen. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, here we go. So, one of the rumours that I've seen this week is actually that Samoa Joe has been suspended, along with Andrade, for 30 days for a wellness policy. Now, what I wanted to do was actually squash this, because WWE have come out and completely denied this, saying that it's because he got concussed in the Royal Rumble. So, it's more about the injury rather than the, like, this suspension rumour. Now, I don't know where it's come from, whether there has been some tests or something has happened, but ultimately Andrade has got a return date, and when superstars do get suspended, they do announce a return date, so it's a lot easier to tell sort of what's happening. Samoa Joe doesn't have a return date, the same way as AJ Styles doesn't have a return date, Kalisto doesn't have a return date, so they're all injuries. They've all been announced as injuries, so that's a little bit different. The same way when Bobby Roode was suspended back in September, I believe it was, or anyway, before Christmas, that was a 30-day suspension. He had a return date, so it's a hell of a lot easier. Just to keep an eye out for these rumours, it's easier to tell which one's true, which one's not. So anyway, I hope that helps. Obviously, if there's anything else on the story, I'll bring it to you. Another thing I've seen, this is to do with AEW. Chris Jericho has posted a picture of him together with WWE superstar EC3. Now, he's actually said that big things are coming in this post. I believe it was on Instagram. Now, there's rumours of EC3 joining AEW, because as we all know, the WWE run didn't really take off. It wasn't the best of things that we've ever seen. Ultimately, didn't really get the push either, but his character wasn't that great for me. And his contract is actually unknown. I believe he's injured. I believe his contract, he's still got a contract with WWE, but I believe he is injured. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if they come to some sort of mutual termination, if he did want to join AEW. Again, there's another superstar which he's got a AEW date now, which is Brody Lee, aka Luke Harper, to the WWE fans. This was always going to happen. This has been a long-term rumor. I think he'll be good there. I think he will. He'll have a lot more character opportunities with just himself, rather than being in a tag team or part of obviously the Wyatt family. Because ultimately, you know, he was never a big character, a bit like Eric Rowan. They sort of struggle on their own. Eric Rowan was a lot better on the mic towards the current product of what we're watching now, just through the help of Daniel Bryan, I believe that was. He helped him on the mic. He helped him sort of get out of that Wyatt family character, where Luke Harper hasn't. He's always stayed, even with the Bludgeon Brothers, he always stayed in that. So hopefully AEW can help him get out of that. Another one is Matt Hardy. he's been quite active on social media recently, saying using his never say never type thing, and that's never with an N-E-V-A-R, using some of Matt Hardy's creative spelling that he uses and some of the creative sentences he makes up. But I have seen one saying, well, it was Private Party from AEW tweeted him that they'd like a match or some sort of interaction with him. And he tweeted saying, never say never. So that sort of sparked some rumours, because obviously his contract's coming up with WWE. It's coming to the end. He's had a terrible run recently, which is sort of understandable seeing where he is in his career. But then you never want to see a legend like that go down that easy. And I don't mean down as in just fall over. I mean the character like plummet. The whole popularity plummet, which isn't nice. But also I saw something to do with him joining NXT and potentially having a link up with Undisputed Era. Now, I think he'd be better suited to AEW out of the two, just because I feel like he could push his character like he's done before outside WWE. He can do a lot more creative things with AEW than he can with probably NXT. But then again, sticking with WWE, and I'm sure he'd be one of the top superstars in NXT. And as we all know, he loves to push and help the younger stars get over. So that's one thing. I'm sure he wants to help the development as well. So whether or not he has any preference yet, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And you sort of never know with Matt Hardy. He's very active on social media as it is. He likes to reply. So I'm sure anyone across the board that tweeted him, he would have a comeback to. We've seen it over the years how he replies. And it sparks rumours because people get excited. And ultimately, there's no backbone. It's just him replying. You never know, even know if they're friends in the background. They might even know each other from beyond what is out there, what we know about him. So I wouldn't look too far into these rumours, especially with the Matt Hardy ones. The EC3 one, I think, has legs to stand on, so we'll see how that one plays out. Ronda Rousey as well. We've seen her come out and say that she loved WWE, as we know, but she doesn't know when she's been back, because there's been a lot of interviews, a lot of people asking her when she'll be back. Now, what she was saying was that she was doing about 200 shows a year, and on the road, it just put a strain on her family life and her relationship with her husband or partner. And I agree. I can understand that. I get that. Everyone sort of says it, especially when your partner isn't to do with WWE. You see relationships last when they're sort of used to it. You see Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. You see Charlotte and Andrade, Becky Lynch and Rollins. You see other relationships in the past, obviously, like Triple H and Stephanie. The list goes on. But you do sort of see it when they're both sort of in the company. I'm sure it's easier to understand the commitments, especially coming from the UFC. It would be different commitments where you probably only train in one place. You probably train in your family location, wherever that would be. It's a lot different to be being on the road all the time, where the partner might not always be able to get there. Now, of course, I'm not saying that they don't work. I'm just saying it would make sense for it to be a little bit easier if you either met in WWE or you even worked in WWE. But ultimately, she said that she would like to come back, but she wouldn't be able to keep up a full-time, like the 200 shows thing she was doing. So I think a Brock Lesnar type contract that he had or has. Now, I know he's been on every Raw this year, but I can't see that continuing, really. And let's be honest, he doesn't exactly do a lot. He just sort of comes out and F5s people like once or twice and he goes again. Paul Heyman talks. So if she could have that sort of contract, I think that would be much more popular. I actually think that would be better for her. I think that's better for her, better for the fans. So I'm hoping that sort of comes into fruition. And I'm quite excited for that. I'm glad that she's come out and actually said something now, because there's been a long time speculation, especially with the Royal Rumble. Now, of course, there's a hell of a lot of rumours all the time and speculation with different superstars that probably haven't even said a word and they just get thrown in the rumour mill. But I'm glad she's actually come out and said something now. I'm glad that the fans can actually relate and sort of understand her decisions. So that makes a hell of a lot easier because of some of the comments she did say when she left. It'll just be easier for when she comes back to have a nicer return, because ultimately she is one of the best stars that WWE have had. Now, yes, she's not the best in ring, but I actually would say she's up there. And for what she brought to WWE and did for the women's game, it's unquestionable. So you have to give her respect. You have to understand that. And good luck to her to whatever she decides in the future. Now, I'm sure we've all seen Becky Lynch using the greatest of all time, shortened to GOAT, is the abbreviation for it, tagline, on the back of her clothing now. She's actually come out and said that because Ric Flair, if people knew about it, he's recently tried to trademark that moniker, trademark the greatest of all time sort of statement. And Becky has said that she respects Ric Flair and won't be changing her sort of tagline from the man. So I don't really know why it's on the back of the shirt. If she's not trying to go for it, then surely she'd just stick with the man. Now, I almost don't even want her to try it anyway, because I think greatest of all time is a little bit far-fetched. I think using a similar one to a GOAT, which Clarissa Shields uses in boxing, which is the greatest woman of all time, I think that would be better. Now, I know she plays on the man, and I know people might say, oh, we're trying to get rid of the women's sort of statement, so we only want the NXT title and not the women's NXT title, and by throwing in the W of the GOAT statement, we're bringing back the whole stigma of it, oh, we're only being women. But I feel like that is a better option just for everyone. I feel like using the greatest of all time, I think people are going to get upset by that, because people are going to automatically, you get compared to Stone Cold. When you talk about legends, you talk about The Rock, you talk about Hulk Hogan, you talk about Ric Flair, you talk about Randy Savage, you talk about The Ultimate Warrior, you talk about all these different people. And for me, I don't think Becky Lynch is up there. Now, understandably, I don't think a lot of the current superstars of this modern day age are really in there with the likes of Stone Cold and The Rock. Now, of course, they've retired now, so it's easier to see what legacy they've left. I think Randy Orton, John Cena, Edge, you get the few, obviously Triple H as well, Shawn Michaels. You get some that really do make it, but I think using that tagline, just for me, it's a little bit too far. I would prefer either not to use it at all, or just come up with another creative thing like the man that people can get behind. But then I don't actually see any problem with still using the man. Charlotte still uses the queen, so I would stick with the man anyway, and hopefully she does. Hopefully it is only just to push some merchandise or something like that. Now, the big news, or what I'm personally excited for, that I'd like to talk about and bring you, is the big rumour of Sting apparently being cleared to wrestle. Now, there was quite a lot of rumours that he was meant to be at Superstar Showdown, potentially against The Undertaker, because, as you know, Saudi Arabia are willing to pay the money. They love the legends. I'm sure it's a lot easier for them to sell the sort of legends being there, because across the board, across the world, if you mention The Rock, if you mention Stone Cold, if you mention The Undertaker, them sort of people, everyone knows. Where if you're trying to sell, I don't know, a Baron Corbin, for instance. Now, I know he's obviously there, but if you're trying to sell Baron Corbin as the main event, or one of the main events, not a lot of neutrals will know, not a lot of casual fans will know. We're obviously throwing the big names in, and they're putting in the big money. They want the big returns, they want the big crowds. It's easier for them. But anyway, Sting was apparently cleared. Now, Sting didn't want to do the Saudi Arabia thing, which I understand. whatever personal reason that is, or just a business reason, I wouldn't want to do it if it was just like a one-off match. But apparently he is willing to do a WrestleMania match against The Undertaker. Now, that would be absolutely incredible. That would be epic. That would be amazing. I see a lot of sort of criticism online saying they're old, it's not good because they're icons, their bodies won't be the same, the in-ring abilities won't be the same, they can't do the big spots. Now, we don't need the big spots. We don't need it. They're brawlers, they're strikers. They could have a fairly decent match with just doing simple stuff like the striking. We know Undertaker's good at striking. Sting's good at striking. With some of the splashes into the corner, I'm sure they could do. Undertaker could do some old school stuff. That, not saying it's easy, but I'm sure it's going to be easy for them because they've been doing it a long time. And then they could have a good match. I mean, the build-up would be absolutely incredible. And as long as they didn't try too hard and try and build it as the main event, which it wouldn't be, it's doable. And I'm sure The Undertaker would want to do it. He's already said that he it's a missed opportunity in the past not to do a thing with Sting. They're both similar characters. They're both exciting. They're both dark. They both have the sort of blackout appearances with obviously the gong and the sort of like crow or sparrow noise. So that would be interesting. I personally would love it. I personally am quite excited for it, even though it's quite new at the moment. So of course, keep listening to my podcast. Keep tuning in each week. Give me a like on Twitter. Give me a follow. Give me a tweet. Give me a message. It's at Aid Wrestle, A-I-D Wrestle. Give me some feedback, anything you like, anything you don't like, and anything you want me to touch on, anything you want me to find out. I'll do my best each week to get it all on air. So, thank you for listening, guys. Enjoy your week. You think you know me?